Ben Fagan here with another episode of Career Cash, the podcast. And on this episode, I'm joined by Lynn graduate and former soccer player Emma Portsmouth. Emma is currently the senior account executive for groups with the Arizona Coyotes. And in this conversation, we talk about the power of perseverance, how to create that drive from within, and how to find a career you'll love. It's an awesome conversation. Let's get to it. The first thing, before we dive too deep into anything, I just want to touch on a personality trait that I know that you definitely have, and that's perseverance, because for the folks scoring at home, we battled through a lot of technical issues to get to this point right now, and we made it, we're here, and we're ready to rock and roll. So before we get too much into your job aspects of things, would you agree with that statement that perseverance is something that you kind of align with on a personality level?
Yeah, it's definitely like having perseverance and hard work. It'll get you through a lot if you're willing to kind of just push yourself through it and not just settle. You can open a lot of doors for yourself. So I definitely have perseverance to get things done and perseverance to think of new ideas. It's just being able to have that kind of self-motivation to push yourself through those harder times in life and your career and all those types of things. So yeah, perseverance has definitely got me along, and playing at Lynn has, I got good perseverance there. So I'm super happy.
I love it. I love it. And it's shined today like a beautiful bright star. So, So bringing it back to your job, and you could tie in the perseverance aspect or not, but kind of catch us through what you do now, your journey from coming, you know, out of Lynn to the different jobs that you got, and then your day to day and what you're actually doing in this new position here.
Yeah, so kind of how I got into sports is while I was at Lynn, I got an internship with the Panthers. They had one posted online, and it was a summer one, so it aligned well with our off season. So I had more time to do that. And I kind of did a few different internships just to kind of start figuring out what I liked. I think as a sophomore, just to see what I liked to doing, because of course I had no idea what I wanted to do. I was in marketing, and you could do so much with that. And I minored in sports management. So I was just kind of like, okay, let's give it a try. I interned with them. I got to do the draft with them, the 2015 draft, and help plan a bunch of events for that. And that's when I really realized, like, okay, I love working in sports, and then also playing sports at Lynn. You kind of like that team aspect and working with people, not just by yourself, and you just happen to be in the same office as people. It's like that team aspect really draw me to it. So right after Lynn, I just saw a job posting for the Arizona Coyotes online as like it was called a ticket sales representative. So basically you're cold calling people, you're calling people that have come to one game, trying to get them out to more games, that type of stuff. And it was really hard. Hockey in the desert was not popular. It's still not very popular, but that perseverance to be able to get through that, get my foot in the door position where it's, of course, nobody wants to do that job. I just had to remind myself, this is not my forever job. This is just a stepping stone to get me closer to where I want to be. So I did that for about 6 months. And then I saw a job posting for the Calgary Flames and Calgary Sports and Entertainment, who own all four teams. And it was for to work for all four teams. So I saw that as a good, and it was in their group sales department. So groups, they do like the theme nights or bachelor parties or birthday parties or like when hockey is for everyone night and pride night and like those big events at the games. That's kind of what they're tied into, and working with schools and fundraisers. So that kind of more draw me because it's like groups. It's not just single game tickets and things like that. I like event planning from my internship. I remembered I liked doing that in sports. So I was like, okay, let's go to try. I was underqualified about a year, but I just decided to go for it. And I was like, oh, I'll just put it in. Like if I get it, it was meant to be. If not, I'll look somewhere else. And I ended up getting it. And so I did 4 years there. I was actually the first, I was the youngest and first group salesperson to win Rookie of the Year up with that team there. I was also nominated to be in a book of 100 plus businesswomen you need to do business with in Calgary. So I got to be in that. And I just really kind of changed. Thank you. I just changed kind of how they viewed groups. And I was the youngest groups hire they ever had. And then after that, when I left, I was probably one of the oldest, because they realized young adults now, we're so creative and we have so much potential to think of new ideas and think of ways that we can use a lot of different technology and aspects and what people like to do. And we're a lot more social than kind of the generation before us, and people that might be a little bit older and just thought of it as one way, as just, okay, people come to games. That's it. It's like, well, you can have events at games. I did their first ever women's event up there, and it sold out with 120 women. And it was just basically being like, women like sports too. You don't have to come just because your boyfriend's coming or your husband or your kids want to go. Like, you can go and leave them at home and you can go enjoy sports with your girlfriend. So that was kind of like my big thing. And I just kind of showed them that there's more to sports than just going to the game. It's an experience and it's an event. And then recently, about a month ago, I got offered a position down back in Arizona and I decided to move in the middle of a heat wave down here. And I'm now in a senior account executive in groups. I've moved quite fast in my career because I've been willing to kind of persevere, like you mentioned, and kind of step out of that comfort zone. It's not easy moving countries, and every time has been about 3 weeks. It's not like I'm moving in a month, I move in 3 weeks. And it's hard and it's uncomfortable, but I believe that it's got me to where I am today. I'm willing to, if they say no, they say no. And I think that's the biggest thing is don't be afraid to ask. It's a lot of people don't ask. That's why they don't know. And I would be like, oh, I want to do this event. And I just would go ask and they would say yes. But they're like, no one's ever asked before. So I think a lot of people my age, when we first get into our career, we're scared to ask. We're scared to be like, can I do this? Or you're scared to know your worth. And I know my worth and where I'm at. I've negotiated pretty much everything I've gone into. And I think we need to have that mindset that just because we're young doesn't mean we're not qualified. We come with a lot more than just experience. And if you don't have experience, but you have the personality, don't worry about the experience. Just go for it. Because if you got a good personality and they like you, they're going to hire you. So that's my biggest thing.
No, I love that. Just everything that you really touched on there, I thought was just incredibly well said and very, very valuable lessons. So going back a little bit, you know, you have all these, whether it's moving, whether it's starting young, whether whatever it is, you've done a lot in such a short period of time. And like you kind of alluded to, that it takes a lot of effort. It takes some time and you encounter some challenges along the way. So what is it that kind of helps you, you know, with these challenges to be able to say like, hey, yeah, you know, I'm going to go ask for this, or I'm going to create this position, or I'm going to go accomplish this, where it is more or less an uphill climb. How do you prepare yourself for that climb? How do you put yourself in that best position to succeed when there are the challenges that lie ahead of you? Not necessarily a bad thing, but they exist.
Yeah, it's more or less, I just kind of think to myself, like, I have an end goal of where I want to be in 10 years. I make those plans for myself. So I remind myself, hey, I'm on this track. And I tell myself every day, like, you're good enough, you're strong enough, you're smart enough. Like, doing those affirmations, they really do help. I know they're stupid at first, but they really do help, especially when you're in your career. There is always going to be tough days. It's always going to be difficult. And my basic advice, like even mentoring some of the younger people here, is the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Just because you get a different job or you move different companies, or if I were to move different teams, that doesn't mean my life is going to get all easy and that's going to fix it. You need to work through it. And especially when you're coming out of college, like, get your experience as soon as you get that job, like, and unless you just absolutely hate it, really try and just get that experience under your belt, because it will lead to something else. It's just remembering that this isn't forever. This is just a time in my life where I'm trying to get to. So one of the biggest things that helps me push through is I tell myself it's not forever, it's for right now. And it'll help me get to where I'm trying to get.
Yeah. Can you dive into that a little bit? Cause I agree. I think that's an important thing, especially coming out of college, is not having, you know, not like the unrealistic expectation of coming from, you know, wherever you are to, you know, becoming the CEO of your company. I'm all for shooting for the stars like that. But like you said, you know, there's kind of levels to it. And so how can you, you know, understand that, hey, this isn't forever, but still come to work, come to your job motivated and excited to do what you want to do without it being like, ah, you know, this isn't forever. You know, I'm not going to put forth that effort. How do you balance that? And how do you approach it in, I think, you know, a healthier way?
Yeah. The biggest thing for me is like, I come in every day with a positive attitude. I'm that person that's smiling. I'm loud. I'm super bubbly. I call people out for not being a morning person. And just having that positive attitude helps me when I come in being like, I love my job. And I genuinely love my job. I loved my job when I was an ISR making 100 calls a day and not getting said very nice things on the phone. I just love my job. And I think it's being realistic with yourself. I recently had this conversation with myself and had to step back and be like, Emma, you're only 26. I get where you're trying to go to, but you need to put your time in and learn a lot more before you get there. So I have a lot of like self come to Jesus meetings with myself. And one of them was the other day. And just having my dad as a sounding board as well, and talking to family members and being able to then be like, yes, you're doing a great job and we're proud of you, but you need to put your time in as well, because the people where you're trying to get to have done this for a long time. And you are quite young. You kind of have to prove yourself. And I think it's remembering it's not going to happen right away. Those CEOs, those presidents, they were all in my position at one time, and being able to persevere through that position and do really well and kind of stand out from the crowd and just going with the status quo. It does work, and it does get you to where you need to be. I think you need to take pride in your job and your work ethic, and just have real pride in like the person that I'm putting out into the world. Because now I'm no longer Emma the soccer player to my family, who I once was for 20 years. I was always a soccer girl. I was always a sports girl. I was always the girl that went to Lynn. And now I'm the hockey girl. I'm the NHL person. So I had to reform my identity on who I was, especially coming out as a college athlete. You kind of lose who you are. But it's kind of like you find what you're supposed to do. And it's more or less you need to find what fits your life and what's going to make you happy. Because you can think all day long that, oh, it's just 9 to 5. I'll have a life after that. That's funny. That's also what I thought. It's not like that. If you're working a job, that job has a huge role in your life. Your mental health at home, it plays a big factor in it. And it's important to do what you love, and the rest will follow. So I don't want people to come out of school and be discouraged at low salaries or anything like that. Like, you're young. Most of us are single, don't have kids yet. That's the time to really just do what you love. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about anything. You will figure it out. There's always a way to figure it out. So I don't want people to come out of school and be like, okay, I want to go for $60,000 salary. Okay, well, that's amazing. A lot of people would do that. But if I was doing that, I wouldn't be where I am today. I would be doing something I probably didn't love as much. So I think it's, even if you're just doing something small and working up to where you want to get, you will get to that point. And if you're able to work hard and kind of get through those tough times.
What was that journey of kind of re-identifying yourself? Because I think definitely it's something that is super real with athletes, you know, wherever you stop playing sports, whether it's 18, 40, you know, 30, 20, 19, wherever it is. And then also, yeah, I think just students in general, people in general, not even at any point we're in transitional periods, whether it's from high school to college, college to workforce, from job to job. There is that point in which we have to kind of readjust how we identify yourself. So what was kind of your journey with that? Like you mentioned, you were, you know, you grew up for 20 years being Emma the soccer player, and now you're Emma the hockey executive person.
Yeah.
So how do you kind of go about that journey?
It's hard. It's not easy. You do need to lean on people. And I think even just being open about it, I did have to see a sports therapist, because a lot of people, and it's totally okay to see a therapist. Mm-hmm. Like, lots of people do it, and you don't have to talk about it. You don't have to tell anybody you're doing it. It's just nice to have that sounding board of someone to listen to how I'm feeling. And they're not there to provide all the solutions. They're just there to listen, where a lot of our family members and things like that, they're there. They want to help because they love you and they care about you, and they just want to find a solution for you. And that's not always what you need. A lot of the time it's talking it out with yourself. I think the biggest thing for me going through that change was I stopped playing soccer altogether, and it was very weird for me. So I started playing on like a beer league, or like playing other sports and things like that. Still doing that thing that made me happy, but now I'm in a different point in my life. Now I'm looking to grow my career, and I put a lot of emphasis into my career, and I threw myself into it, and I sacrificed a lot of my early 20s for my career, which is paying off. So I'm very happy with my decision. But I think it's finding other things that give you that same type of happiness, like whether it be joining a club or a book club or a group. I'm part of a women's group out here that networks with business, or I have a hobby, like I do social media management on the side on top of my job, just because that creative side, I genuinely like it. So I think it's not completely cutting that part out of your life, still letting it be a part of you, but now you're realizing, okay, it's time for me to grow, it's time for me to find my career, and letting that career or that job or that family be the next person that you are. And like, one day I'll be a mom, and one day I'll be married. So those are all the new life changes that'll eventually happen. But I threw myself in my career because I loved it, and it's paid off immensely. But it's definitely, it was a very hard transition coming out of sports and not having that. So playing on like a, just a fun league that you don't practice, you don't do anything, you just go for fun, or going to the gym kind of filled that void for me while I got to focus on other things. So I think it's remembering you don't have to cut everything out of your life, but you can still have that aspect in your life, but you can focus on other things.
So what is your approach to kind of how you go about your work? Because you keep, you know, you mentioned you threw yourself into your career, sacrificed, you know, much of your early 20s. And do you feel that like you had that, you know, is talked about a lot, the work-life balance? Was that something that you had in a separate way? Because I think for everybody, it's different. And that's what I'm so curious about, is how you kind of approach it. Because, you may be somebody who's like, hey, you know, I did this, you know, I worked 24/7, 365, and that's what kept me going. That's what I like to do. Or you said, that's what I did. It didn't work out and I had to make adjustments. What was your kind of relationship with throwing yourself into your career and having the time to be Emma in whatever capacity that, you know, whatever that means?
Yeah. And this might not be what everyone agrees with, but I believe that I'm in my early 20s. This is the time, or now mid 20s. Oh gosh. Now this is the time where I do put in that work. I do put in those extra hours. When you talk to these CEOs and people like that, they did not just work 9 to 5 and that was it, and they got to where they got to go. There in Calgary, there was times where I worked 80 hours a week. I might have only got paid for 40 of those hours, but the relationships I made with my clients and the things, those all helped me later on down the line. And I think it's remembering that, yes, there is a work-life balance. My work is my life. Because when you're a CEO, when you're a VP, when you're those things, your work is your life. And you need to understand that, yes, there is a balance. But I still, like, I live with my brother and my nieces now. And on the weekends, I make sure to have time with them, or after school, I make sure to play with them, or when I get home from work. I think you can have it. But people thinking that you just go to your 9 to 5 and that's it, you're going to be successful, that's not going to happen. If that's all the work you're willing to put in, and all the effort, you have to be willing. I do my job and then I volunteer to do anything else that anybody else needs help with. If that means going on a meeting with someone because they need help, like I'm doing today. If that means teaching them something, if they want to come shadow me, if they want me to go on an office meeting, like out of the office, I'll go with them. And I always volunteer. If they need help with an event that's for season ticket holders, I'll go help. I think it's being willing to help others, because if karma comes back, you want that person to help you if you need help, and that creates good relationships in your company, and that'll move forward. Because when they go to talk about those promotions, they're gonna be like, oh, well, Emma's always willing to help, or Emma's always the first one to put her hand up when we need something, like she'd be a great leader. But I think we need to remember that, yes, there is a work-life balance, but in today's society, your work is your life. So you need to do something that you love and are willing to, and you come home and you're still happy. Like, the money will follow if you just do something that you're genuinely interested in, because it'll become successful, because it won't feel like work. It'll be like, I'm excited to go to work on Mondays, and my boyfriend's like, you're insane. Like, you're crazy. I'm like, oh, I can't wait till Monday. And he's like, ah, you're nuts. But I think it's remembering that just because it's a 9 to 5 and if that's the only work you're going to be willing to put in, then you're always going to be in the middle. If you're willing to kind of step out of that and kind of put some of that time in now, it'll pay off later. And I think it's sacrificing the time now so your future life can have that dream that you want later on.
Mm-hmm. No, I love that. I love that. I love the excitement. You have great energy about you and being that. And yeah, it's such a better quality of life when you get to wake up, you know, every day and be excited for what you do. So that's awesome. Yeah. So going back to your time in college, you know, when you started getting into these internships, because I think you did hit on something that I think a lot of students do go through, and that's figuring out what the heck I'm trying to do with my life. And understanding that, for one, it's okay to not know straight out of the gate, you know, what you're going to do. And you said you tried these different things to get to this point. So can you kind of take me through that journey of trying the different things, share some things that you found out that you's like, hey, I tried this, but I didn't like it. Why you didn't, and how you, a little bit more detail about how you kind of gravitated more, you know, so deeply into the sports industry, and more specifically where you're at now.
Yeah. So starting out at Lynn, I was actually an education major for elementary education. I took 2 classes my first week, and I went straight to our advisor and I was like, yeah, we got to change it up. That is not for me. And that is totally okay. Like, I am great with children and I love that, but I didn't love the life that came with being elementary. You have to be, it's like being a nurse. Like, it takes a special kind of person to have that empathy. And I knew I just didn't have the patience. And I was very honest with myself. So I went and switched to marketing because I knew that I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew that marketing, you can go into so many different industries, and I'm good at business. And my family is very business oriented, that you could go kind of any direction, and a marketing degree can kind of be transitioned easily. So that's why I've decided that one. And that's what I would recommend. If you're coming out of college, like, half the time you just need to have the piece of paper. It's not always about what it is specifically. Like, I used to work with finance majors that were in group sales, and I'm like, you are definitely where it's supposed to be, but that's what they loved. And it, so it's kind of like, just do something that you're kind of interested in, and you'll find the job that's right for you. It doesn't always have to be like, okay, I'm in finance, I'm a finance person outside of college. It's not always like that. Just find something that you genuinely are interested in. And I picked marketing. So I think it was a sophomore junior when I got my internship with the Panthers, just through a family friend. He was the athletic trainer. So I went and did up in their brand activation, which is like all the digital media and things like that, brand sponsors that sponsor the Panthers. I kind of helped out with that. And the draft just happened to be that year. And then I also did an internship with kind of like a nonprofit that did like sports books and safety books for kids leagues and youth sports. And I didn't like, I'm horrible at math, like the worst at math and numbers. And I didn't like how much data collecting it took. I liked the aspect of, everyone thinks sales, like, so I am in sales. I'm a group sales, senior account executive, and system manager. So everyone thinks of sales as like a car salesman, like you're cold calling 100 people a day. Like, every aspect of a job has sales in it. So do not think that sales is just so horrible cold calling thing. I learned that very quickly. I was very scared to take a sales role. But even like, I've talked to lawyers and stuff like that, and they have to call people that are interested in their services and kind of qualify them. So there's always aspect of sales in any job. And so when I was going through these internships, I just kind of drew more to the one that had relationship aspect of working with clients, because I like working with people. I like talking to people. So I kind of just, I knew that about myself, and I knew I wanted to do something that was dealing with people, not just sitting behind a desk. And so I think that's just stuff that you learn about yourself. And if you're going through school and you're like, hey, I'm not cool with talking to random people, it doesn't make me very comfortable, you will always find something that, if it's a sales job and you don't like talking to people, please don't take a sales job. You're going to be miserable. You have to talk to people. You have to go on meetings with people. Like, it is a lot of people. So if that's not for you, like, there's tons of other jobs in our, and even sports, that don't deal with people at all if they don't want to. Like, it's, there's different aspects to it. And I think it's just finding what you're personally good at, and then finding a job that has those qualities. It doesn't always have to be exactly what you want, unless you're like a doctor or something. It doesn't have to be so specialized. It can be more like, hey, I'm good at this. What jobs have this for me? You can even Google it. Like, I have these kind of, there's lots of personality things out there that'll, you can answer these questionnaires and things like that, that will kind of show you what jobs are, have those aspects that you're looking for. And I think just utilizing the technology that we have now, and utilizing things that you know about yourself, and just finding a job that fits you.
No, definitely. Definitely. So before we wrap things up officially here, you mentioned you plan your life out. You got this, you know, 10-year plan where you want to be. So can you kind of dive into that? Where are you working towards, you know, with all this effort that you're putting in now?
Yeah. So, my effort is, I'm looking to be a president or director of, sales, because they oversee group sales, they see service, they see ticket sales. So that's kind of my 10-year plan right now. I will only be 36. So I bet that'll be a 15-year plan. But I am very persistent, so it'll probably happen sooner. And I think that's kind of my 10-year plan. Which team, it doesn't matter to me, or what, I do love hockey, so I'd love to stay in hockey, but, every sport is the same on the business side. It's just what's on the field or on the ice. That's the only thing that changed. Every business kind of operates the same in sports. So yeah, I'm looking to be a VP or president or something like that. So hopefully a young one, and that's kind of my 10-year goal.
Yeah, some tells me you're not gonna have a problem with that. So I think you'll be all right. So now we are at the segment where we're finishing up, wrapping things up, and we are about to cash out. And so this is where you leave all of us with a little piece of money, you know, a little bit of money for the road, with your most valuable tip, your most valuable piece of advice, for everyone out there. What do you got for us today?
Yeah, my biggest piece of advice and my cash out would be do something you're passionate about. Don't do it for the money, because when you love your job and you're passionate about it, the success and the money will follow.
Beautiful. Simple, sweet, concise, and worth a lot. So Emma, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun, and I am excited to watch you continue to climb the ladder and get to where you want to go. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.